Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have turned it up a notch on Whirlpool Corporation. The boycott has now gone international. People all over the world are saying that they will not buy any Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Maytag, Amaro, or whatever it is. All the products that made by Whirlpool that's products of Whirlpool, we have taken this thing to a whole different level. Also, the NAACP are catching the flux. We now have over 8,000 NAACP cards that has been burned. That is quite in total. I'm going to burn on July 4th 125 cards. I'm hoping that you send me your NAACP card. I want to get up to 150 NAACP cards. Also, those of you who are out there, October the 5th, in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan, actor, activist, Danny Glover will be here. So you should be here. Those of you who can't come, please send a donation. You can go to PayPal, Edward Pinckney, and it'll come right up, and you can do it through PayPal. Also, those of you who have health issues or want to keep good health, you can call Longevity at 888-788-4420. Longevity. I love the product. So those of you who are out there, who's interested in getting yourself healthy, you cannot fight a battle unless you are healthy. Those of you who are out there who have any kind of health condition, call this number, 1-888-788-4420. Let me repeat it, 1-888-788-4420. But on that note, why don't we listen to just a little Martin Luther King? Those of you who are out there, I tell you this much. We are in a fight for our lives here. I got my TIs. Those of you who don't know what a TI is, a target individual. And we're going to take it this thing to a whole different level. But let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennesawian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-asserted manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
Listen to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I have a special guest for you today, someone that we all need to sit down and listen to. James and Joan Mariotto. I believe that's how you pronounce their name. James, are you there?
Yes, sir. We're right here, Dr. Finke. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're trying to do better. And
hey,
the
you know, we're all trying to do better just one day at a time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hi, Dr. Pinkney. This is Joanne.
Hey, Joanne. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Hey, did I pronounce your name correctly?
Pretty close. It's Moriarty, but
Moriarty.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Moriarty. It's easy.
Very,
to
very good. Listen, who should we start with, Jane or Joanne?
Well, I'll start, if that's
okay.
Okay.
Then we'll let Joanne get in some. But listen, I want you to tell your story the way you told it to me. Let's hear it.
Okay. We were doing business in Libya, fabulous amount of business, and more than you would ever expect. And finally had signed contracts with the government, building a new plant there, and everything was looking great. And I finished that on the 8th of February, 2011. 5 days later, NATO started invading. They had an uprising that was not popular. And in the end, we were asked to go back in there as members of a fact-finding commission. We were trapped in Tripoli for 100 days. When NATO overran Tripoli, Joanne and I were captured by Al-Qaeda. We were taken to their torture center. They sentenced us to death, and they wanted to chop us up and burn us and blame it on Gaddafi. And God handed us three miracles. The first one was a rebel, one of the operatives there in that revolution, and he felt sorry for us. And he, instead of taking us to where the kill zone was set up, he took us back to our hotel. The second one, another rebel, put us on a rescue ship going to Benghazi, sneaked us out of Tripoli before Al-Qaeda knew we were out of their hands. We were 2 days on a terrible boat ride, no food, no water, moldy bread and bad juice. 2 days on the Mediterranean, no air conditioning. Got to Benghazi, and they took us, instead of going to a detention camp on the border with Egypt, they took us into a nice hotel there. And then the third miracle happened. The number three guy in that phony government that the U.S. installed in there came in, met us. He's well-dressed. Still didn't know we were on their kill list, but he felt sorry for us, bought us dinner. We hadn't had anything to eat in 4 days, and put us on an airplane that night. And we got into, through a lot of help from everybody, we got into Houston. And when we got into Houston, I was interrogated by the FBI for 3 hours like I was a criminal. And what had happened, Joanne and I had been eyewitnesses to NATO atrocities and the destruction of that country and the genocide of blacks. That started the week the war started, and the Al-Qaeda, who the U.S. was backing there in that takeover country, they said they were going to cleanse Libya of all the blacks. And Libya was a beautiful rainbow color of in every family. There was no blacks that were mercenaries or anything. Those were citizens of Libya. 30 to 35% of Libya was black. And of the 500,000 Libyans that had been killed by NATO in Libya over saving innocent people, about 200,000 of those are blacks, and they're still. The Tuareg people are not allowed to go back to their homes. There's continued genocide, and nothing's being done about it. And Joanne and I are targeted individuals. We have been blacklisted by the government. They have committed soft attacks on us. They've ruined our business. They've alienated us from all our business associates, our network. And, you know, we're people that they would like to see gone because we know all the truths about their war crimes. Here, Joanne.
Well, actually, you have the evidence to support what you're saying. That is even more important.
Yes, Dr. Pinkney, we brought out over 200 gigabytes of evidence, videos that we took ourselves, interviews we did of people that had been, women that had been raped, men that had been cut up, chopped up, killed, their families had been tortured. I mean, just horrible, horrible things. All the information that was coming out in the Western media was the exact opposite of what was going on in Libya. The Libyan army was simply trying to save the people from the attacks of the NATO mercenaries and the bombs of NATO every day. NATO was bombing Libya, I don't know how many times a day, but 60,000 bombing raids over that country during the war there. That's more than all of World War II. I think the damage there is over $1 trillion. They used fuel air explosives, which are the poor man's weapons of mass destruction, on three cities there, completely flattened them. I mean, these are international war crimes, not allowed by international law.
Absolutely, but the best part about it, you have lived to talk about it. So we need to get that story all the way out. Tell me more.
Okay. After we got home, the tribal leaders of Libya stayed in touch with us. There's 2 million Libyans in exile out of 5 now. The others back there live in hiding because Al-Qaeda is actually in charge of that country now and has stolen all the money from it. The tribal leaders talk to us every day, and they're trying to work together with the tribes. All the tribes want to take their country back. They want peace in their country. There's no security there at all. So what they started doing was passing private information, secure information, if you will, intelligence about where Al-Qaeda is camped, where they're moving, where their weapons are, what they're doing, and they started passing that to us. They told us 6 weeks before the ambassador was going to be attacked in Benghazi. We didn't know, and they didn't know it was going to be in Benghazi. They said there will be U.S. property attacked. It's planning. It'll be on 9/11. We called every person we could find in the U.S. government. No one paid any attention to us. After the attack, we started getting a little bit of attention. And Tara Dahl, who was Michelle Bachmann's right-hand aide, decided she was going to talk to us. And eventually she put us in touch with some intelligence people, the Department of Defense Intelligence, the DIA, Department Defense Intelligence Division, or whatever it's called. That guy showed up here a bunch. The FBI showed up here. The CIA showed up here. So we've had all these people, and they gather this information. But what they told us in the end, the CIA lady told us, you know, you are targeted individuals. And she said, you need to shut your mouth. You need to stop talking about Libya. If you ever want to have a life, You need to finish this now, and you need to keep feeding information to the intelligence agencies. They told us they will do nothing with the information, but we have to give it to them. And on the other side of that, the largest camp in Libya, where they've been training Al-Qaeda since before, long before the war, that camp, the minute we told intelligence division from the Department of Defense, 4 days later, they got a message to move that camp, and they all picked up and moved across the desert into Algeria. And we had real-time information where those caravans were, when they were crossing the Algerian border, everything, but nobody ever did anything.
Well, they didn't want to do nothing. Remember, the United States is working with them.
You're exactly right, and the problem we've had is that we're so innocent and stupid that we keep thinking our government's just wrong-footed and they want to do what's right. No, that's not the case. And they're trying to silence us. This gal threatened us. This gal that came into our home, this intelligence officer, said, you need to forget about Libya. You need to start your life over. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, that sounds like a threat. And she said, I'm telling you, you need to start your life over. You need to forget about this. You need to forget about that. And she said, you know, the government could have taken a terminal attack against you all. You're lucky they only took a soft attack. Well, they've been successful in destroying us, and we didn't know why. We couldn't get a job. We couldn't get anybody to talk to us. We have depleted every resource we had. We sold everything we could sell, and we're now out in the cold.
Wow.
We're homeless.
So what you're saying, they're saying that they could have killed you if they wanted to.
And we were supposed to be happy they didn't do that.
Wow. But you know they have other ways of killing you too.
Well, yes, sir.
Good thing you said in reference to some of the things they're doing, like they're attacking you, keeping you from actually making a living.
They've done that. They've been 100% successful at that. What they've done, and this is the real terrible part, you know, these intelligence officers come in here, and we think they're going to take this information we give them about Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda associates, and they're going to go do something about it. No. They're over here hoovering. They're over here hoovering to try to find out how much we know, how much damage we can do to them, so they can decide out what they're going to do next. You know, they're vacuum cleaners. And they have no intention of helping us. They've come in our home and lied to us, you know, and they act real nice. But then you turn your back on them, and they've done something else to us. And they've alienated us from our business associates and our network of people. They're trying to make our families think that we're all crazy, you know. But Reverend Pinckney, what we saw with our own eyes were people, innocent people, being blown up and killed and dismembered and their heads cut, chopped off. We saw them committing genocide against the black people in Libya just because they were black. And I'm telling you, we've talked to lots and lots of black leaders here in this country. We can't get any of them to think about it.
No, because they don't want to do nothing. They don't do nothing here, so how are they going to do somewhere else?
You're
They're
right.
The reason that we're in this compromising position, because they don't do nothing. And I'm sick and tired of them sitting around here doing exactly nothing. But you know one thing, James? I think there are things that we need to do. We need to get this word out here, let people know exactly what's going on, and fight the fight. That's more important. Because actually, you need protection yourself against this government. You got a government who don't even have a soul. And that's what you're dealing
right.
with.
That's right. Amen. Well, you know, we've had one of our attorneys tell us, for all practical purposes, we're in house arrest. He says, you know, your own government is attacking you. He said, how are you supposed to defend yourself against that? And I said, you know, God has protected us before. We've got to pray, and he's got something, a purpose for us, and we think it's for us to get the word out. And I said, we've got to continue to do that. We've got to continue to fight the fight, and we've got to get enough people in the United States to understand our position so they will join hands with us and try to put this evil in front where everybody can see it, because they've destroyed
us. Absolutely correct.
Hurt us
right now, you got almost a half a million people listening to what you're saying, but the people, they won't do anything. They won't stand up. As long as they don't stand up, they're almost worthless.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, Joanne and I were very successful in our business. We went from being on top to absolutely below the bottom. And I'll tell you what we're guilty of. We're guilty of witnessing war crimes and genocide committed by the hired mercenaries of the UN and NATO in Libya. We're guilty of that. We're guilty of being captured by NATO's al-Qaeda mercenaries and being sentenced to death. We're absolutely guilty of that. And we're also had God save us with three miracles. So, you know, we're not good people because we're associated with God. And then we're targeted individuals by the U.S. government because they have been speaking, because we've been speaking about the U.S., UN, and NATO war crimes in Libya. And the last thing, we're guilty of demanding that the genocide of the blacks by the al-Qaeda stop. And we're guilty of all those things.
Wow,
and,
that, you know, that's like amazing.
Any of that, right?
And just to think about, you know, Gaddafi and all the wonderful things that he was doing. And they really don't want nobody to know that either. You know, you could be very fortunate, especially in what we're trying to accomplish here, spread the word, because we want the word to get out in reference to everything that's going on in this country. We want people to know that this country is not what people think it is, you see. And right now you got the NSA, you got everything. You can't even move in this country. And
that's right.
You're being followed. You're being targeted. They're playing with your mind. They're playing with your soul. They're playing with everything that you got. But we have to stand up to them, James. We cannot allow this government to continue acting the way it's been acting.
Let me tell you something about Libya and Gaddafi. He was leading Africa into freedom. He was establishing a gold-backed bank, dinar, for the continent of Africa, which would have separated Africa from the paper bankers, the Federal Reserve and Euroclear. And with that, Africa would have absolutely grown to the most important continent in the world. And the things that Libya did, a lot of people said, oh, that was a socialist country. No, let me tell you the difference. Libya was a very rich country. And what Gaddafi did, the government made a lot of money from selling oil and gas, and he participated that money amongst all the people. Now then, the socialists that we see over here, they want to get in your back pocket and take your money out and give it to somebody else. But that's not what Libya did. The government took their money and spread it around among the people.
Wow, that'll never happen in this country with these capitalistic people, all these billionaires and stuff like that. They want to take everything you got. And if you got it, they want it. If you got a dollar, they want 99.5% of that.
Yes,
so I know that Gaddafi did some great things. A lot of people don't know it, what he did, but I'm glad you was over there. You could see what he did. That is tremendous. But I tell you one thing, Jane, we have to continue getting this word out, letting people know exactly what's going on. So, You know, you got about 5 minutes to say whatever you want to say, you and Joanne together, and whatever you got to say, just say it.
Well, you know, the thing we want to do is, first of all, thank you and your audience for listening to us. We want you to pray for us first, because we need that. And then we'd like you to try to help us if you can. We know everybody's strapped for money. We're in terrible shape. And if you can help us with your prayers, that's first. Second, if you can help us, we're raffling off the last asset we've got. It's an antique car that was absolutely my favorite. Raffle tickets are $10 a piece, or 12 of them for $100. And that's at www.aitnv.com. And call us with your support. Our phone number, direct number, is 307-222-7533. Call us, 307-222-7533. We'd be glad to talk with you people. Listen, we need to have some good God-fearing people that talk to us so we have some communication and connection with real people.
Wow, that's tremendous. Give out that website and that phone number one more time so people can get a hold of it.
This is Joanne. I'll give it out slowly. It's www.AIT like Tom, N like Nancy, V like Victor. It's AIT Nevada.
All right. That is wonderful. Listen, I got to pray for my good friend Ralph Pointer and Lynn Stewart, so I'm also pray for you. So just hold the line. Don't leave me. I'm going to let you have the very last word today. So listen, let's go into a prayer. Everybody bow your head. Gracious Father, we come today, first of all, thanking you and praising your name, lifting you up, thanking you and only you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving us first. We love you so much, Lord. Lord, we know that we can't do nothing without you. You said all things work together for the good of them who love God, them who are called according to his purpose. You said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You said these things, Lord, and I'm standing on your word, Lord. I'm standing on your word. Lord, I just thank you for allowing me another day above the ground. I'm thanking you for that. Lord, I thank you today for all your marvelous blessings, all your past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for what you've already done. I'd like to thank you for your son, Jesus, and I thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you touch Lynn Stewart right now. I ask that you touch her like you've never done it before. I ask that you give her strength. I ask that this be done in your son Jesus' name. I ask that you bring her home, Lord. I know that you are right now, God. You're not a tomorrow, God. Lord, I ask that you touch James and Joanne right now. I ask that you touch them like you've never done it before. I ask that you give them strength. I ask that you bless them with prosperity. I ask that you put your arms around them like you've never done it before. Lord, I ask you to touch my TIs, Lord, them targeted individuals, people who are being targeted by our government, Lord. Lord, we need you right now. We need strength right now, you know. So we got to continue to do this thing, Lord. Oh, I ask that you do it in your son Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name. Let us all say amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. James and Joanne, I will get back with you, and we'll be talking soon. All right. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And
how you doing today, Ralph? I heard the bad news. It kind of like shook me. I tried to call you last week, but I know you was busy.
Yes, it is bad news, but it's good news because knew we had a terrible government to face, and the bad news has kickstarted our efforts to overcome the bad news of the judge. And so
absolutely,
we will continue to struggle, and I'm asking everyone to continue doing what they were doing before. And that is making those calls to the three various departments, to Obama's White House, to Eric Holder, and to Samuels, the head of the prison system. So we must continue this struggle because Lynn Stewart has a death sentence, and she is dying of the death sentence. So we are having vigils in New York all of this week. I am going to visit Lynn if she's not too sick for me to visit. She is in quarantine, and I plan to be in Fort Worth, Texas on 4th of July. And after that, we will be back in New York or back in Washington, D.C., in front of the White House. And I'm asking everyone who was betrayed by Obama, who in good faith believed and supported Obama and voted for him, now you say you're going to hold his feet to the fire. I will be in front of the White House from now, as I said, until Lynn comes home or until I pick her up in a box. because let there be no mistake, the government intends to see Lynn Stewart dead. The cancer has not been stopped. She is too sick to do anything for herself, and the government has said her health is improving. This situation must be fought, and we can fight it from one place. And I ask everyone who can to call people in Washington, to call Tavis Smalley, to call Cornel West, to call Oprah Winfrey. Ask those folks who talked about Obama to support me in my vigil in front of the White House until she comes home. So thank you so much for your support so far, but we must continue that support to free Lynn Stewart and all political prisoners. And if we can't free Lynn Stewart, we know what this government has in store for all of our political prisoners. And that is death by no health care in prison. That is 30 longer, if you can imagine, in solitary confinement. And understand something. When they talk about Guantanamo, all they're talking about is Angola East, Chicago South, where torture has been going on in this country for many a year. And so let us remember all of our political prisoners by remembering Lynn Stewart. Free Lynn Stewart and all political prisoners. And thank you so much for this opportunity to speak on these issues.
Hey, Rap, you wouldn't happen to have those numbers available, would you?
I do not have the numbers in front of me. As I will, you may hear, I am driving in the Gay Pride Parade, and I do not have the flyers in front of me, but if you go to the website, lynnstewart.org, you will get all of those numbers. It's the same numbers as before. We're calling Obama, we're calling the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, and we're calling the Bureau of Prisons, Samuels. And so let us keep the calls coming. We can shut those phone lines down. So let us continue working. Let us work with all people for freedom. And there are many rights that we have to work to support. Let us focus on Lynn Stewart and get her out of those torturous conditions that she's suffering in Fort Worth, Texas. So keep the calls coming. Stay involved. Thank you.
All right, Rap, you take care of yourself. And those of you who are out there, please call those three numbers. I don't have them in front of me, but you can go to Lynn Stewart, www.lynnstewart.com. And it'll come right up on there. I'm going to be sending out emails today with the numbers on there. So please, there's a lot of people listening. Please call, because I know that you can do it. So let's do it. I know you wouldn't be listening unless you knew that, you know, you're in a fight for your life. It's not just Lynn Stewart. It's everybody. It's not just one thing. It's everything. That's what we're fighting about. So listen, folks out there, those people out there, please call those three numbers and ask that they release Lynn Stewart immediately. And on that note, Rap, I want you to let you know we love you, and we're with you 100%, and whatever we can do to help, all you do, I'm just a phone call away.
Okay, thank you so much, and I know you will thank all the listeners, all the people who have helped so far. And we have brought a lot of pressure on this government. Well, let us continue. And watch, because we will be having large demonstrations in New York, because we will be in court in New York, hopefully, within the next 2 weeks. But know that I will be in front of the White House every day, all day, until Lynn Stewart is free. Join me. Thank you.
All right, Ralph. Thank you so much. You know, that's tremendous. And on that note, Ralph, we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, you so much.
All right, Ralph.
Okay.
All right. My next guest, Cardinal Monocule, 45 years old, Bohemian citizen. After completing high school in Nassau, Bahamas, he attended St. Augustine College in Raleigh, North Carolina, on a track and field scholarship. He graduated from college in 1990 with a bachelor's degree in economics. After college, he worked with the government of the Bahamas for about 4 years in the Consumer Economic Unit. He married a lady he met from South Carolina. who he met in college. He eventually moved to the United States in 1994 while working various odd jobs before becoming a teacher. In 1997, he and his family returned back to the Bahamas, where he's now lived and worked. He is one guy that you all like to meet. He's a very, very, very good guy who might need our help. Cardinal, are you there?
Yes, Rev. Good afternoon.
How you doing today?
I'm fine right here, praying, trusting in the Lord Jesus, and thank you for inviting me and taking my call.
Absolutely. You're somebody who I know that the people want to hear the story, you know, so it, to me it's more important that you get the story out than anything else, and I think that's what we do. So, listen, you can start anywhere you want.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, Rev, that 7 years ago, my wife and I separated. Okay, said like you said in your introductory paragraph, she's from South Carolina. I met her while I was in college in North Carolina in Raleigh. But, you know, we dated for a while, and then we married. And we eventually moved back here to the Bahamas after a while in the States. We have three daughters. But in 2006, we separated. We went before a judge for custody of the children, and I was awarded custody because the judge felt that based on the evidence I presented that I was the better parent. That's in 2007. And so I became the father of three, single father of three very young girls. My oldest was 11 at the time, the middle was 8, and the youngest 5. And so from then to now, I've been raising my three girls by my own through the grace of the Lord Jesus. News spread it here in the Bahamas that a gentleman had custody of three young girls, and a television station approached me and said, "How is it possible? What happened? How do you take care, how do you manage to take care of three young girls by yourself?" I said, the ordinary things that any other single parent or mom or anyone would do. Make sure that they're fed, they're clean, they go to school, do their homework, the normal things, you know. And on that television interview after I did that, I received a summons about a month or two later, stating that I should not have appeared on television to present a story as a single father. And I was shocked. Why would I be summoned to court for speaking as a single father? You know, I thought that was my freedom of speech. But in court, the judge said to me that my divorce proceedings with my wife is uncompleted, and I should not be divulging any information because it can hamper the divorce proceedings. To my knowledge, I was not aware of that. I did not know that that was a rule or law. And so I told the judge that I'm not aware of that. And even if that is a law, I don't see how my freedom of speech can be stifled as speaking as a single father. I was told not to speak again about the matter. And if I did, I can be placed in prison. And so me calling you may get myself in some trouble with the authorities here because I've been warned. I'm on touchy ground, so to speak. We went back to court in 2008. My wife took me to court in 2008. She said, "You have the children. Our marriage is not getting along. We are separated, but I want it finalized. I don't want to tie this up any longer. Let's just go and get it done and over with." So she took me to court for a divorce, and the judge found me guilty of cruelty during the divorce proceedings to my wife for reasons that's very strange. I was charged with cruelty by the judge for asking my wife to help take care of the kids. Charged with cruelty for asking my wife to go with me to marriage counseling, professional marriage counseling, and I was charged with cruelty for telling others, saying to others that my wife was having an affair, which was the true situation. So I am a cruel man based on the courts of those particular points that I just shared with you. And in all that charge of cruelty, the judge still allowed me to keep the children. And I was like, why would a cruel man still have children if all of these things I've done and said were terrible and could cause an influence to the children? And in all this time, I was never awarded child support, even though I tried to through the courts to get child support from her. 2 years later, 2010, I tried again to collect child support from my wife through the courts. The court said that my lawyer's application for child support was flawed and that my lawyers did not state clearly what part of the child support order that my wife was in breach in. So the judge ended up throwing out the case. The judge did not award me any child support for the girls. And on top of that, I was told by the judge I have to pay my wife court expenses, totaling somewhat in the neighborhood of about $4,000. So I lost child support for the children. I lost about $4,000, what I was supposed to pay for my wife's attorney or for my wife's court fees, and I had to also pay my lawyer. I cannot go back to court unless that fee is paid. I have not paid it. I don't have the money to, and if I did, I don't see why I should, because my children are entitled, like any other kids, to child support. That is a basic fundamental right. Whether their mom and I are together or not, they are entitled to that. They need it to survive like any other children. And to penalize me or the children for that matter, because they are not having these things that they need, it's a sad situation. So we cannot divorce at this time because there's a penalty, a monetary penalty, that the case may go forward, cannot go forward with unless this money is paid. I don't have the funds to pay it, and it's about 7 years now, and it's just tied up in the Bohemian courts.
Cardinal, it sounds like to me that she got favored with the courts.
Pardon me, Rev?
It sounds like to me that she must know somebody in the court system.
Maybe, I don't want to speculate, Rev. Like I say, what I'm saying to you are allegations, are my allegations. The courts may have another take on it here. The judiciary, the Supreme Court may have another take, but this is my allegations. And like I say, since I cannot move any further here, I prayed about it, and the Lord Jesus directed me to carry the matter to the OAS in Washington, D.C., which I did in August of 2010. They received my complaints on behalf of my children who have been going without for years and behalf of me for my freedom of speech violation and my concern of being charged for cruelty, which I did nothing wrong for. They received my allegations, and they have since forwarded my allegations to OAS in Washington, D.C., to the authorities here in the Bahamas. They did that in February, just part of this year. They told the authorities here in a letter which I received that the authorities here has 3 months from February onward to respond to the charges that I allege. 3 months has passed, and there's been no word from the authorities here back to the OAS when last I spoke to them. And so, again, it's another holding process. I do not know why they have not responded to the OAS at this particular time, but when we get at this international level at such a high, when you're dealing with governments and states and things, I would have suspected that some formal letter back to the OAS would have been shared with them from the authorities there on my children's and I's case. but that is not the case at this particular time. You know, I'm still waiting word, and in the meantime, I've touched bases. Like I said earlier, my kids are U.S. citizens, all born in South Carolina, and I've touched bases with Senator Jim DeMint when he was in office, Senator Lindsey Graham, who's presently in office, and Tennessee Senator Tim Scott on the issue to seek a diplomatic solution, see if they can reach out to authorities here to see if some meaningful dialogue and solution can be met. You know, I'm thinking that it's the best way. I wouldn't want to drag this matter on continuously because it's been close to 7 years and it's not moving any place at this particular time. But I'm not been able to secure any substantial help for any of those representatives. Like I said, one reason I was told was that the matter is in court and they cannot get involved in legal situations in court. That was one of the reasons which I received from Jim DeMint's office and Tim Scott's office. Senator Lindsey Graham, I did not get a response at all from his office. On the matter at this particular time, and I'm quite taken back by that, is because our matter at this time being at such a high level, I would thought that they would want to try and help, especially seeing that the kids are from or are born in their state and their mom is from there. I was hoping that they would look at it and that their children and try and help the children in some way. But it doesn't seem to be that is one of the reasons. And I bring that up because I remember representatives like Congressman Ileana Ross Layton in the Cuban case in Ileana Gonzalez, where she reached out and assisted or tried to assist them, and Congressman Christopher Smith of New Jersey, when he reached out and helped Sean Goldman, I think that's his name, with a Brazilian case. You know, both international matters of a high caliber. And based on our fact that our matter is at the OAS and the OAS has made some inquiries into it, I feel it's leaning or bordering or maybe similar to the case of those other two cases that I just pointed out to you. And if other congressmen and senators can lend some assistance, you know, I was hopeful that they could have. You know, I'm looking for a solution, not to really move this through the courts or something, but I don't have any choice. We don't have any choice if that is where the matter is at this time, unless someone is willing to lend that diplomatic assistance.
Absolutely, that's what you and I are working on right now as we speak. But listen, I think that, you know, even in the Bahamas, you would not think that this would be going on, but it's going on in the Bahamas also. You don't think that it's controlled by our United States government there, do you?
No, it's not controlled. No, sir, it's not. But like I said, I think it's just a matter of assisting diplomatically. When you have children and when you have marriage situation and you are at the international court level, other countries, other states in this, you have about 34, 35 states in this hemisphere. And once they read or they get and they get notice of this case, it can send a precedence. It can affect other jurisdiction because of the level is where it's at. And we would not want cases like these to be not go unresolved or to be lingering or to, you know, it affects families. And right now in the United States, I think there's an issue with family when it points to traditional families or same-sex marriage in families. You know, it comes on that border of families, and it can shed some light on the family issue. Points can be taken from it from other cases on a family. All international cases at this level are interlinked. And I'm hoping that there is some remedy so this matter could be taken off the table and not be used in some other way in other cases for Elgin, so to speak. I don't know if that's the right term. It's just a matter of sharing the breakdown of the family in the United States and the world is happening at an alarming rate. The regular traditional family, the breakdown, single parent homes led by women especially, it's huge. And if you have if my allegations are correct, a judge here or judges here are breaking down or did something to cause the breakdown of a family just through no evidence or support, then that means it is an open field day on the family. Because if you can just say that the marriage is over, if a judge can just say a marriage is over without any explanation or reasoning or any type of serious evidence, that means that situation, anyone can pick it up and move forward and end a marriage because it is on record. And so that
absolutely
is what I'm...
You know, you're right on point. But listen, I'm telling you, what we're going to do, we're going to spread the word. We got a lot of people listening. And let's see, can we get you some real help? Those of you who are out there, you know, you can always email me. Is there a number or email that they can reach you at?
My email is C_Moncur, my last name, MONCUR, at MSN.com. And I'm thankful, Reb, for you allowing me this opportunity to speak. And like I said again, I'm traditional families of any particular time. Families are so different now. You have kids being raised by grandparents, single-parent homes, adoptive children. There's so many different types of family. And my point is, if families, you know, there are some gay families now that I've seen on the U.S. note. If families, I'm just speaking particularly in families, if families can be broken apart without any basis whatsoever, families are in trouble, children will suffer, and it will be a long day. And that's what's the basic why I'm trying to keep moving this fight forward. Families must stay together. Now, if there is a legitimate need for families or relationship to be separated or going apart, fine. But that's on any notion, once the wind blows in a certain way, you go to court and the judge just say, okay, it's over. You know, if you would find people not marrying, not wanting to pay all these alimony and child support because it's over and there is no evidence of support, and I don't feel that is the direction that courts and marriages should be going in.
Wow, Kano, that is tremendous. Listen, I got to move on, but listen, I know you're all the way in the Bahamas. If you can hold on for a little while longer, I'll give you a chance to say the word at the close of the show.
What I would do, I don't know if you have another guest, but I'll try and ring back in about 15 minutes. You may have another guest, and then I'll hold from there.
Okay, that'll work.
Okay, all right, take care.
All right, then. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, how are you doing today?
We'll prosper. I'm good. I'm good, Reverend Pinckney. I'm good. How are you?
Great, man. Great, man. Just taking it one day at a time.
That's all we can do, Reverend.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So what's happening with you? You want to talk about that Defo Favera, right? Let people know about that?
Yes.
I saw the video. The video was sensational, young man.
Thank you. Thank you.
I thought you did an excellent job, not just a good job. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I need to first and foremost give everybody some information so they can move forward, because this is about to happen. We have completed our Defo Favera report, one that's already been submitted to people on a congressional basis. And we will go forward on this. So folks need to understand, this is serious. We're dealing with the issue. There are over 40 million women using Defo Favera, the most dangerous contraceptive drug known to man. And we have all the information that you need to back it up. I want everybody that wants a free PDF document showing one, and I can send you two. I can send you our non-consensual experimentation where they're killing people with drugs in Africa and other places. We have one report called The Outsourcing of Tuskegee, done by the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. And as the president national spokesperson, although I like saying spokesman, national spokesman for the Anti-Depo-Provera Clergy Coalition, I want everybody to get this. All they need to do is write W, Randy, R-A-N-D-Y, S-H-O-R-T, at yahoo.com, wrandyshort at yahoo.com, and I will send you the information on Depo-Provera showing that it is genocide and it is being done by powerful people who know just what they're doing and who they're doing it to. They're targeting, first and foremost, black and African women, brown women, Muslim women, and everybody else, but they're trying to go as light as possible on white women. This drug does everything that nobody wants done to them. It causes mental problems, including suicidal ideation, depression. It makes people bipolar. It causes excessive weight gain, which can cause type 1 and 2 diabetes. It causes balding in women. It causes women to have hairy bodies. It causes anemia and excessive bleeding. It doubles the chances for breast cancer, cervical cancer, uterine cancer. It causes osteoporosis, which is not reversible. I have a cousin. She used it for 2 years. And you're only supposed to use it for 2 years, although in Africa they start giving it to kids at 10 years old. You're not even supposed to give it to people before the age of 15, 16. It causes osteoporosis, which is the leaching of all the minerals out of the bones. So my cousin, who used it for 2 years, who's 30 years old, has the bones of a woman that's 85.
Wow.
I mean that.
So
we got
wow.
these
that's,
women out here who are going to be literally made 50, 60 years older than what they are. Even if they, and it's not reversible. And I haven't said it all. It causes sterility, long and short-term infertility and or sterility. It causes ectopic pregnancies, maternal death, miscarriages. Oh, and I'm not done. It strips the inner vagina of the epithelium, meaning that the woman loses within her vagina immunity, making her susceptible to all STDs. Let's start off with the big one. They know at least twice as likely to get HIV, AIDS, chlamydia, or syphilis. In fact, they did a study on monkeys, primates, with SIV, which is the primate version of HIV. And they found when Depo-Provera was used in monkeys, they were 8 times as likely to get SIV. Understand that, 8 times. Our expert, a gentleman whose name we have to still hold, estimates that a minimum of 10% of all AIDS deaths are caused by Depo-Provera use. To give you an example of what that means, in Africa alone, a minimum of 800,000 people die because of Depo-Provera use. 800,000. Once we see this, and understand the official records are not even clear because they don't really care what they do in Africa. They don't really care what they're doing to women in other countries. The effectiveness of this drug is such that in Israel, when they were using it on the black women there, their population growth rate was halved in less than 10 years. And this is being made. The drug is being made by Pfizer. Pfizer is a company that has paid huge fines for their fraud and corruption. $2.3 billion recently for lying, for falsifying information about drugs. And all of this is being injected into our black women. In this country, black women make up the majority of the Depo-Provera users. And imagine heart attack, stroke, HIV, AIDS. I left out tubal pregnancies. There are things that I suspect they haven't even given us information on that kills women.
Wow.
With this drug. And it's frightening. And by the way, all of the so-called black leaders, I just saw the Urban League is now letting some of its space be used by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is the number one purveyor of Depo-Provera. And if you go to the website for Depo-Provera, they basically tell the young women in so many words that they don't need to use condoms. The good thing about using Depo-Provera is you don't have to do anything before sex. That is leading someone to death. That is leading our young women and young men to death. And I left out when the woman's immunity is gone from using Depo-Provera, it makes her a super carrier. So a whole lot of young men who've gotten HIV AIDS, who've had to carry around the stigma of having gotten it because they were gay or down low, got it from a woman who probably didn't know she had it. And now everybody's afraid of who's who, what, who's sleeping with who, and these drugs, wherever this Depo-Provera is used, globally, there are high rates of AIDS and HIV, and last but not least, Reverend Pinckney, everywhere where they want to destroy people. In Burma, where they're killing, or Myanmar, where they're killing the Rohingya, Depo-Provera is the contraceptive drug of choice. In Australia, on the Aboriginals, Depo-Provera. In New Zealand, for the Maoris and the Polynesians who are black, Depo-Provera. In Canada, for the Indians, Depo-Provera. In America, Depo-Provera. It's genocide.
Wow, so you're surrounded by Depo-Provera. Wow. I know you've been working on this project for a long time, and I really appreciate your work, Dr. Short. I mean, it's just tremendous. Somebody got to do it, and you have been chosen to do it, and that's a beautiful thing, Dr. Short. But listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on, but I want you to stay with me because we're going to talk some more about this Depo-Provera.
I want to tell everybody, you can see Abby Martin, who does, who works for Russia Today. She has a show. If you go to YouTube, it's called Sterilizing Minorities? And if you can't get it again, what I'll do, when I send them the report on Depo-Provera and the outsourcing of Tuskegee, I will send them the interviews that I've done. So that'll just be sent to them via email. So wrandyshort@yahoo.com. I will send you whatever you need.
Hey, that's tremendous, Dr. Short. And I did see it, and I said you did a tremendous job. I mean, I won't say
thanks.
A good job. I say tremendous. You was wonderful in there. I mean, you told it just like it was. And I appreciate
you,
my brother.
And you know you're vice president, so, you know, the clergy coalition, everybody that wants to join, because this is part of Banco. This is another way to put Banco on the fast track because, you know, Reverend Pinckney, you're coming before Congress.
Oh, absolutely. I can't
you're
wait.
You're going to be before Congress. We want Banco. Banco is part of the coalition that's pushing this. We're already on the agenda sometime in the next few months to talk about Depo-Provera before Congress.
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. I can't hardly wait.
You're vice president. You know, sometimes you got to be number.
Look, if you can lead, you better be a good follower, too.
Okay.
That's where I look. Hey, my brother, thank you so much, man. Hey, just hang with me. Don't leave me.
All right. Bye-bye. I'm holding.
All right. Nancy Lockhart, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Great. How
thank
about
you
yourself?
Very much. I'm doing well. Thank you for bringing me on. It's been really storming, and I apologize for calling in late. But I just wanted to share with you and the listening audience a case in Athens, Georgia. 4 years ago, a three-year-old little girl was raped by two, possibly three men. 4 years later, she's 7 years old, and there has not been an arrest or a prosecution in this rape. The little girl gave very, you know, vivid details as to who did this to her. And normally, under normal circumstances, you know, one would say, well, let's just let her heal from this. But her counselors have said, and I've detected as well, that she needs an arrest for recovery. She wants to know why it is that when children do bad, they go to time out. When adults do bad, you know, nothing happens. The police have just swept this under the rug.
Wow, that's amazing. Nancy, what I would like for you to do, you know, set up a rally. Let's do something.
Okay. All right. I certainly
and
can.
And listen, I know how you operate, so, you know, I know if you put something together, we'll be ready. If you put it together, give me at least 30 days or so. I said 6 weeks earlier, but you give me 30 days, we'll be there.
All right, thank you. I certainly will. And if I could ask everybody to go to www.wedemandjustice.org, read about the case, get familiar with it, listen to some interviews, and please sign a petition.
Hey, that is important. People, please sign the petition. We got so many people that just won't do anything. And that's one of the issues that I have with all these people that's listening. Nobody wants to do nothing. Nobody wants to say nothing until something happened to them. Then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. But, Nancy,
exactly.
I know you've been on the battlefield for a long time, and I want to thank you for the hard work you did with the Scott Sisters and the NAACP tried to come in and take the credit for it. But, you know, you always been on the battlefield. I've been knowing you for a little while now, and I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you too, Reverend Pinckney, and thank you. I'll be in touch soon.
All right, then. You take care of yourself, because now it's my T.I. time. It's T.I. time. Target individuals. This time that we take this thing to a whole different level. I'm going to bring on Ken first. Then I'm going to bring on Gloria. Then I'm going to bring on Dorothy. Then I'm going to bring on Shy. I think that's how she pronounced her name. But it's going to be, I got to bring on Doug first. I got to bring on Doug first, Ken. Doug, are you there?
Yes, sir,
Doug.
I am.
How are you doing, Doug?
Doing great, Reverend Pinckney, and thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I almost forgot about you, Big Doug.
Well, you know, because I've been investigating violent crimes against children covered up by law enforcement for the last 21 years, and I've been investigating Illuminati for the last 46, I can go for either 15 minutes, 15 hours, or 15 days. What do you want me to do?
Hey, well, you know, I want you to say whatever you want to say and take it from there, because it's important, especially with the children. Let's talk about the children.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm in Santa Rosa, California, as you know. I've had you on my show several times, and you've had me on your show here before. But the bottom line is I'm releasing a book. I'm taking it to the printer tomorrow morning, and it's titled Where Angels Fear to Tread, the CIA's and Media's Most Evil Cover-Ups, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in America. And on the cover of my book, I have a photograph of three boys who have their hands tied behind them. They have their ankles tied, and they have rags in their mouth, wrapped around and tied behind their head. And two of them are from Washington State, and one is Johnny Gosch. He was kidnapped from West Des Moines, Iowa, and he still has the same football jersey on that he was wearing the morning he was kidnapped on a Sunday morning to take his newspaper out. And so since I've been doing this for 21 years now, and I've never charged for investigations in over 20 states, I do it as a ministry. I don't do it, obviously, for anything but as a ministry to try to get justice for the poor victims. And when I say victims, obviously the whole family becomes victimized, not just the child, but the parents, all the siblings, the grandparents, et cetera. And so I learned what was going on here in Santa Rosa. People, you need to know, I live in Sonoma County, California, about an hour north of the Golden Gate Bridge on Highway 101, and the Bohemian Grove is here. It's owned by the San Francisco Bohemian Club, and they have their logo is an owl on their stationery, and they have a 39-foot tall concrete owl at Bohemian Grove. It's 2,700 acres, and you know, we were led to believe that when Christ walked the earth, and there's nothing in the New Testament about children being taken to human sacrifices, but you know, it's all through the Old Testament, being taken to a Moloch, M-O-L-E-C-H, and so I went, after I investigated here and learned what was going on here, Polly Class was kidnapped from our county about 15 minutes from my home back in 1993, and our whole network, there were several of us working out full-time, and all of us were just doing it as volunteers to try and get some justice for the children. And what happened was that when Polly Class was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered here in our county, her grandfather had endorsed a book a year earlier, and the title of it is Breaking the Circle of Satanic Ritual Abuse. And so I met with the father, and then I met with, he asked me to talk to his father, Joe Class, K-L-A-A-S. And so I introduced myself to him. I told him I just came back from a national conference in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago, and it was a three-day event, and there were 300 of us there from all over the country. I suspect I know what is the motive for your granddaughter's kidnap. I didn't want to traumatize your son, because obviously I knew he didn't want to hear it, since they've got his only child. So anyway, we went across the street, and we sat in a hot, hot summer night, kind of like it is right here nationwide today. And the result was that when he told me that I asked him, I said, now, because of what I specialize in, was there anything that, since you had, there were two other girls with Polly the night she was kidnapped, was there anything that, and they were all tied up, I said, was anything the man that kidnapped Polly said? Was there anything he had for tattoos? Did he have any clothing or any jewelry to indicate he was a Satanist? And Joe, oh my God, no. He just went nuts. I said, I'm sorry. What's the problem? He said, I should have been the first to think about it. I said, why would anybody think about something as sick as that? And he told me about endorsing this book. And so I said, well, Joe, a lot of people endorse books on Satanism, and they don't have their children or grandchildren kidnapped. The motive has got to be in that book. What's the name of it? I wrote it down. What's the name of the author? He said, I can't remember. He said, you endorsed it a year ago? How can you forget that? He said, because he used a pseudonym. Because his parents and grandparents, for generations back, are all involved in Satanism. And they know that if he were to expose this stuff with his own name, that he would be kidnapped and not just shot or went over by a car, they would torture him to death. And so he sued him.
Wow.
So people need to understand that there's an underbelly in America of many Satanists, according to Ted Gunnison, the former head of the FBI, who you can read about him in a book called The Franklin Cover-Up. It's for free on the Internet. The subtitle is Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. The Franklin Cover-Up. I hope you folks will all write that down. Because he's only mentioned one time in the book, and he talks about Satanism and what's going on here. And so I called John LeCamp, the author of the book, who was in the CIA in the Vietnam War, an attorney, and I said, I want the phone number of one person you named in your book, Ted Gunnison. And so I got that, and I called him, and of all things, he came to from L.A. and from Las Vegas. He came to Santa Rosa and Petaluma, two cities in our county here, a total of 8 times, and never charged us for his investigations, and usually he paid his own way, or somebody
wow,
else covered
that's
it.
Wow, amazing. Hey, Doug, listen, you got about 90 seconds to wrap this up. I got to bring on Ken.
Okay, no problem. So I would encourage everybody to write this name down, Where Angels Fear to Tread. That's my book title. I'm taking my book to the printer tomorrow. It'll be available tomorrow night. And I want to just tell you that it's a 250 pages plus, more bigger than that, but 8.5 by 11. So that would be the equivalent of maybe less than 6 cents a page if you was like, you know, a typical book size. And instead of $30, I'm offering a discount to get the word out, a 30% discount, $9 off. You can get it for $21. And here's my mailing address. It's 1570 North, spelled out, North Street, Apartment 8. North Street, Apartment 8, Santa Rosa, two words, Santa Rosa, California, 95404, and the shipping and handling is only $275. So we're giving away a book almost, get the word out. We've got to build a national movement, and you'll find all kinds of solutions in the back of the book. I'm a born-again Christian, and I live my faith and trust the Lord to protect myself and my loved ones, children, grandchildren, and siblings.
All right. Hey, that's great. Listen, maybe you know, you come on and we'll give people a little update. If you hang on, I'll let you repeat that at the end of the show.
Thank you.
All right. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Ping. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. You didn't forget about Lisa was going to read that article, Lisa Becker, right?
I don't see her number.
Okay, it's
262-902-2977. Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start out on the longevity. This is a wonderful product, and if anybody wants to get their body in shape, they need to call it 888-788-4420. It's a great item, even if you can only buy the Tangy Tangerine to start out with. Reverend Ping has been doing very good. We've had a few people that are doing very good on this product, so I highly recommend it. But first thing, I'm going to start out, Reverend Pinky. We asked people, how did Germany fall? Because the German citizens, they laid down and closed their eyes, and they were cowards. They didn't want to speak up. We got the same thing going on here now in America. Citizens say, I'm doing nothing wrong, so I don't care what they do. What they should be saying is, I'm doing nothing wrong. Why in the hell is the government spying on me?
That's right.
You know, if you had a neighbor peeking in your window, you'd want to kill him. But yet the government does it all the time to most of the citizens in this country. They're spying on you, and they tell you you might be a terrorist. No, they're the terrorist. And remember this clergy response team, the Bible says, let no man deceive you. And a lot of you people, Americans, have been deceived. And then I'm gonna touch on what James is saying earlier. He's talking about Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is the CIA of this country. They run it. They control it. It is the CIA. And then after that, I'll let it go, Reverend Pinkney, and let somebody else speak. But I hope
all right, we'll bring Glory on first. I see Lisa's on the board now. And then we'll bring my good friend Dorothy on. And then I got my good friend Shy. I think that's how you should pronounce her name. She'll come on. She'll be the last person. Go right ahead. Glory, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
I'm doing better. I'm doing better and better every day.
Hey, you sound very cheerful today.
Yes, I am, because I have the opportunity to be on your show. This
oh, you're just trying to make me blush. You stop that. You know I'm weak. Right on. Listen, you got something you want to read? Let's get into it.
Okay, I'm going to get into it. This is about wireless medical devices. Wireless medical devices are being covertly implanted in patients. We, at some point, have trusted the medical community when becoming ill beyond our control with our lives and our families' lives. A lot of us should know that medical professionals do not know everything about their patient, which can require other medical specialists' assistance. It is safe for all to say, after being required to provide our laboratory work to the medical community, we no longer have control of it after being released to them. It is also safe for all to say our laboratory work can be used via a covert DNA black operation and medical research program. Because of these elements of facts we presented to you, we are asking all to raise public awareness of the wireless medical devices. Now, that I read that statement. That was an introduction. That was an introduction to what I'm about to read now. And this is so everyone can put their thinking caps on, close their eyes, and open their minds. Wireless medical technology are medical devices that are implanted or worn on the body of patients being used to torture U.S. citizens. Medical device clients in the medical community cannot lawfully market wireless devices used on implanted patients if not regulated by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, and the Federal and Drug Administration, the FDA. Companies such as Fish and Richardson is a regulatory group that assists their clients to get through future controversies of fulfilling their wireless medical marketable goals. This regulatory group assists their wireless medical device clients to avoid fines, punishments, civil litigations, and shareholder lawsuits. Regulatory focused daily news briefs on top global stories about pharmaceutical medical devices, biotechnology, biocommunication, and more. The FCC released January 27, 2012, existing all medical device radio communication known as MED Radio, which is a medical broadcasting network service via electromagnetic spectrums. Radio spectrums allows regulated radiation to be sent to patients with implanted devices. Implanted medical patients' devices employ neuromuscular and micro stimulation to their bodies remotely. It is said to be a part of a larger effect to recognize and facilitate the significant advances in wireless medical technology as a revolutionary treatment via wide medical conditions. This was said by FCC, the Federal Register, and the FCC to allocate 24 megahertz of spectrum in four segments of the 413 to 457 megahertz for medical micropower network used on secondary bases, 413 to 419 megahertz, 426 to 432 megahertz, and 451 to 457 megahertz. The FCC states that 400 megahertz band is made particularly well suited to host medical micropower network devices, and the band is already used for other medical radio communication. implanted devices overall. The medical has established a wireless medical black operation against U.S. citizens. Due to these wireless medical software being unregulated, unsupervised, and exploited after being in the hands of criminals. This wireless medical technology was not intentionally invented to be used covertly on U.S. citizens to control their bodies. Neuromuscular and microstimulation science was only invented for paralyzed patients' organs and limbs. Please do the research about wireless medical devices. Learn how a computer hacker can hack into patients' devices to cause them radiation injuries as well. Many wireless medical and fatal also injuries. Many wireless medical technologies can be used as a covert murdering device against patients and unwitting U.S. subjects. And next week we will present how we are exposed and are attacked by this radiation. Thank you for listening.
Way to go, Glory. Good job. Hey, listen, can you elaborate on that just a little bit for us?
Sure. What they're saying, people have had pacemakers put in their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They have pumps. They use pumps for diabetes and different things like that. Well, if you're a hacker, if you're a computer hacker, you can hack into these instruments in people's bodies. But what we have discovered, they have been purposely placed into our bodies so they can continue to hack, train, study, do whatever they want.
Wow, you got me right there. So you're going to come back next week with something special for us again, huh?
Yes.
All
and
right.
What
we're
we have
to
keep in mind,
to it, Gloria.
What we have to keep in mind, Reverend Pinkney, is every one of us, at some point, we have trusted the medical community with our lives and our families' lives. So it's time we get on the move and find out what's going on.
That's right. We all need to come together and fight this monster. All right, Gloria. Thank you so much for that. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you. We was waiting on you to come on. You was a little late coming.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had to work till 5, and I got out of there as quickly as I could. I apologize.
Hey, I
could have
called your boss
late
and told him that you're going to be on the Pinkney to Pinkney show. You can't work that late no more.
I know. Well, listen, first of all, I'd like to say I really appreciated what Ken Rhodes said. I was listening to Ken. He is so correct in what he said. And that was an excellent bit of research that Gloria and Amy put together there. And Angelica, I understand. That was awesome. It really terrifies one. It makes you want to not go to the doctor again, not knowing when you might get chipped and get some radiological device implanted in you. But what I've got, Ken sent me a wonderful article this week that I'd like to share with your listeners, if I may.
Go right
ahead. Okay, what it is, it's concerning a bill called H.R. 390. It's known as the National Emergency Centers Establishment Act. And if passed, this bill would give Homeland Security and the military to put us into concentration camps. I hope people are paying attention because this is pretty serious. We have a quote from Congressman Ron Paul saying that the legislation would be used to incarcerate Americans following the establishment of martial law. And he says, yeah, that's their goal. They're setting up the stage for violence in this country, no doubt about it. Paul responded to a question about the House bill, quote, they're putting their back up against the wall and saying, if need be, we're going to have martial law. Now, this also, there's some other information on this. In December of 2008, the Washington Post reported on plans to station 20,000 more U.S. troops inside America for the purposes of domestic security. And this is an expansion of the NORTHCOM militarization of the country in preparation for potential civil unrest following a total economic collapse or a terror attack. And we know they're taking us down economically, so we know it's a matter of time before that button is pushed. Let's see. In the years leading up to the FEMA concentration camp legislation, the government prepared for the eventuality of civil and political unrest through Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot, Operation Cable Splicer, and a flurry of executive orders issued over the years that have established a framework for concentration camps. And add to this the Pentagon Civilian Inmate Labor Program provided by Army Regulation 210-35 that establishes labor programs and prison camps on Army installations. Let's see here. The government is determined to keep information about its FEMA concentration camps as secret as possible. This was demonstrated in December 2010 when True TV inexplicably pulled an episode of Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory dealing with FEMA camps and fusion centers. And for anybody who thinks that they can TiVo something or save something on their TiVo, the government has the ability to go right in there and remove it, just so you're aware of that. A friend of mine experienced that firsthand. Now, it's not certain that H.R. 390 will make it out of committee and become law, but its introduction earlier this year reveals a sincere desire on the part of the establishment to put a martial law detention infrastructure in place, especially now as the economy continues its decline and the prospect of revolution grows within the U.S. And I need to give credit here to InfoWars. This article came from InfoWars. And I would just like to state that I hope Americans begin to realize that there is no political or right and political right or left. It's all just a show to keep we the people divided politically. And that whole concept of divide and conquer is what they're employing. They've been doing it for years against us, but we've watched one administration after another lead us into this global police state. And thank you so much for allowing me to share that.
Hey, that was tremendous. You know, get a chance. Can you kind of like give us an overview of it?
An overview of it is they're trying very much to. They've already got these FEMA camps in place. Right now, it's just a matter of them pushing the button on a false flag, in other words, a terror attack, or let's say economic collapse, and let's say we all start rioting, or they cut off Social Security, or some other means, something that they will trigger that will cause Americans to go into riot mode. They will declare martial law. I mean, we all saw how they declared martial law in Boston after a bomb went off and several people were injured. You know, they want to declare martial law so they can come house to house, confiscate weapons, confiscate food, take some of us people who are considered political dissidents and throw us in jail, never to be heard from again.
Wow.
So it's pretty serious. They're planning to kill us.
Understand this. You hear what I'm saying,
yep.
Lisa? Yeah, can you hear me, Lisa?
I know. Yeah, just barely. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, I'm hoping that people that are listening to the show understand exactly what you just read. That is a tremendous article, but, you know, most times people don't believe things are happening, especially when it comes to our government. The government can do anything they want, and you don't believe it unless it happened to you. Then when by the time it happens to you, it's too late. And
it's
that's what's going
on. You're exactly right. And True TV had a tremendous episode. It was called Conspiracy Theory, and they had the FEMA camp episode. It scared, it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. And
wow.
They literally showed the centers. You know, they showed the centers. There was no denying it. They showed all the coffins lined up, ready for those of us who won't comply. So we have to be prepared to resist.
Oh,
freedom,
you're absolutely
is
correct.
Lisa,
I tell you, we got to keep spreading the word so people can know. They think that we're living in the land of good and plenty, you know, but it's not true.
Right.
So listen.
No, freedom is life and death. Freedom is worth dying for, and eventually come to that. Freedom is worth dying for.
Hey, I agree with that 100%. But listen, I got to move on. But I will talk to you soon. Sierra. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Hi, Reverend Disney. It's Sahar here. How are you?
Right. There you go. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm okay. Thank you.
How do you pronounce your name?
Sahara, like Sahara Desert, but no
Sahara. Okay. I said Sierra, but Sahara. I got you. Go right ahead. Listen, we don't have
okay.
a whole lot of time, but do what you do.
Okay. It's just under 4 minutes. This
okay.
is what I prepared for today. Hello, my name is Sahar Chenier. I am the founding spokesperson of Snowy Oak, Stop Nonconsensual Experiments on All World Citizens, a community on Facebook and MySpace. Snowy Oak is spelled S-N-O-E-O-A-W-C. Today, I'd like to start by reading from the background section of the Wikipedia page for Project MKUltra, specifically the precursor experiment subsection. A precursor of the MKUltra program began in 1945 when the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency was established and given direct responsibility for Operation Paperclip. The program recruited former Nazi scientists, some of whom studied torture and brainwashing, and several who had been identified and prosecuted as war criminals during the Nuremberg trials. Several secret U.S. government projects grew out of Operation Paperclip. Their purpose was to study mind control, interrogation, behavior modification, and related topics. Also, according to Wikipedia, the Office of Strategic Services was a United States intelligence agency formed during World War II. It was the wartime intelligence agency, and it was a predecessor of the Central Intelligence Agency. The Office of Strategic Services was formed in order to coordinate espionage activities behind enemy lines for the branches of the United States Armed Forces. Continuing to Wikipedia's Operation Paperclip page, Operation Paperclip was the Office of Strategic Services program used to recruit the scientists of Nazi Germany for employment by the United States in the aftermath of World War II, 1939 to 1945. It was conducted by the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, and in the context of the burgeoning Soviet-American Cold War, 1945 to 1991, one purpose of Operation Paperclip was to deny German scientific knowledge and expertise to the USSR, the UK, and the newly divided East and West Germanies themselves. Although the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency's recruitment of German scientists began after the European Allied victory, May 8, 1945, U.S. President Harry Truman did not formally order the execution of Operation Paperclip until August 1945. President Truman's order expressly excluded anyone found, quote, to have been a member of the Nazi Party and more than a nominal participant in its activities or an active supporter of Nazi militarism. However, those restrictions would have rendered ineligible most of the leading scientists the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency had identified for recruitment, among them rocket scientist Wernher von Braun. To circumvent President Truman's anti-Nazi order, among other agreements, the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency worked to create false employment and political biographies for the scientists. The Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency also expunged from the public record the scientists' Nazi Party memberships and regime affiliations. Once, quote, bleached of their Nazism, the scientists were granted security clearance by the U.S. government to work in the United States. Paperclip, the project's operational name, derived from the paperclips used to attach the scientists' new political personae to their, quote, U.S. government scientist, Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency personnel files. If you would like to read about Operation Paperclip, often referred to as Project Paperclip, I recommend starting with the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation article, Project Paperclip, Dark Side of the Moon, by Andrew Walker, most recently updated in November 2005. Thank you for your time.
Listen, that was wonderful. I tell you, can you give me an overview of it?
Yes. Basically, what some people seem to still not realize or be surprised by is that some of the doctors and the scientists and the rocket scientists at NASA in Huntsville, for example, Wernher von Braun was the leading scientist that the center there is named after. People don't realize that they were formerly Nazi scientists in their studies and in their research, which included mind control operations. And so that helps to explain how and why some of what people are complaining about now in the targeted individuals community could be occurring, because the U.S. government itself went and they recruited scientists that they knew were developing such techniques, and they brought them over to the United States, and they gave them new records so that the public could not see their Nazi background and ideology and could not realize that they were involved in war crimes, such as to do with the torture and interrogation techniques that are used potentially for mind control.
Wow, that's tremendous. Listen, I'd like to thank you for that. That was great. Listen, you won't be back with us for about a month, is that correct?
Yes, the last Sunday of every month.
Okay, I expect to see you. Listen, you have a good day.
You too, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now I got to bring on my good friend, Dorothy. Those of you who are out there, do not forget that Danny Glover is coming to the city of Benton Harbor. You can pay for your tickets through PayPal. Just look up Edward Pinkney, and you'll see my name, and you'll be able to send money through PayPal. Those of you who want to send a check through the mail, send it to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Danny Glover is coming. Those of you who can't make it, please send a donation to make this thing a reality. And on that note, I got to bring in my good friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
And, Dorothy, I want to thank you for your donation. And I tell you, you are just a tremendous person. And,
well,
you know, we love you here.
Well, thank you. Let me get right into this, because several of your guests said things that we can also tie together.
Okay.
First off, I'd like to also say that Dr. Mengele, known as the Doctor of Death, was also, he was the father of mind control, and he did horrific experiments on children and twins and dwarfs. He was the guy that did ungodly experiments. You can go on YouTube. He was actually brought to America, where he also taught mind control in this country. In different universities, his name was Dr. Green, but there's a YouTube video, Doctors of Death, again, Doctors of Death, and in that, it actually talks about the wish list that the CIA had to be able to use all these drugs and all these physical experiments, and it virtually is what a lot of the TIs are going through. It's a list that has all the different stuff. It includes producing fake illnesses, a drug or signs of a fake illness. Now, think about this as it applies to healthy Americans who now think you have illnesses because of tetra waves, synthetic telepathy, and the various other things that are going on that you may not know about. It talks about being able to wipe out your memory and amnesia, physical methods of producing shock and confusion over extended periods of times, and capable of changing who you are. But again, this is a YouTube video, it's free, of Doctors of Death. Another one, Dr. Colin Ross, MD, speaks out about CIA mind control, 2009. Dr. Colin Ross, MD, speaks out about mind control. The Killing Fields, The Killing Fields is another one you need to look at. Another is a tribute to Eustace, it's Eustance Mullins. Now, this was a gentleman, a southern gentleman, actually, he was actually an Air Force officer, who started talking about what was happening in the world and how many of us had the shades pull over our eyes and what's going on. But as you're looking at the information based on stuff that Doug Millar was talking about, he mentioned Polly Klass. How many of you know who her murderer was? Richard Allen Davis. Richard Allen Davis was a former Vietnam-era veteran. And you will find that a great many of these killers, sadly, come out of our military. Often many of them have come out of combat, but even more so have come out of mind control programs, such as Charles Manson. Now, he was not military, but he was a mind control subject, as was Eric Harris, the Columbine shooter. Now, one of the other interesting things I want to talk about is, and not interesting from a despicable standpoint, but connectivity, if you will, is that one of your guests, Dr. Short, was talking about the birth control. When I was in the military, they were giving out the number one birth control pill given out to its population was Low Oval. In 1989, that pill was being given out when it was expired. Now, please know I had a master's degree at that point, but the sad thing is that as I went from overseas to two different U.S. bases, I learned that that pill was being given out by professionals who were telling me that that was safe to take. And yet when I went to the civilian to kind of investigate it, I was told by a pharmacy gentleman, he says, if we don't pull those things within 4 months prior to their expiration, we could be sued. Now, here are the two things that when you give out pills to unsuspecting and unwitting people who trust in an agency who's supposed to make sure that you give accurate pills. Number one, it breaks down its efficiency. So for those women, married or unmarried, who were using that pill, and it's also used for medical conditions, not just to prevent pregnancy, but it could break down and be less effective. The second is it can break down and become toxic to the user. And it wasn't long after that there were a whole lot of military women that were dying from the use of birth control pills that they did not know why they were dying. Well, in 2004, I would run into the then United States Surgeon General, who was both a former police officer but also a doctor, and his name escapes me right now. But I talked to him in person, and I said, could you please help me find out what happened with these pills and get this out to our military women and spouses for their safety? He pretty much ignored me. And it was actually C. Everett Koop who was, as I was told by a lieutenant who was in the hospital or the clinic on Spangdahlem, Germany, that was an okay pill to give out even though it was expired. And I asked that lieutenant to show me the message traffic, and he would not let me see it. Now, I want to kind of go on with this because clearly we need to protect all human beings from what is turning out to be a different type of plan of eugenics. And one of the things is that I recently called a national organization that is supposed to be dealing with a plethora of different things, hate crimes. They're supposed to be the training organization on hate crimes and elderly crimes and DWIs and even military sexual traumas. And I asked the crisis manager, I said, could you please tell me, do you know about sexual slavery? Do you know about synthetic telepathy, audio spotlight, all these other technologies that are impacting not only children that are being picked up and put through now a 75-hour regiment, and this was told to me by a specialist in the field of clinical therapy on children who are being put through Luciferian or satanic ritual abuse. They can put them through a 75-hour process in which they are totally messed up within 75 hours. And so I asked this expert, and he tells me, no, he doesn't know anything about it, but he then goes on to brag that he is, his organization is the expert that is supposedly, that is training the United States military on how to deal with its rape crisis. When I then looked at who supports their agency, they had a major pharmaceutical corporation that was engaged in it, and their board of directors happened to be people around military bases. Now, that's not typically, and again, maybe these people are really good, but when I was on military bases, I found that virtually people around those bases, because so much money is flowing off, they pretty much looked the other way when it came down to holding people accountable for crimes on and off that base. So I was a bit shocked and appalled, but I guess the research played out. And I would like to ask you to look at another movie, which Gloria turned me on to, which was, again, on YouTube free, Murder by Injection. Murder by Injection. And I'm going to give you four people's names, and I want you to think about them. Nelson Mandela, and we send out prayers and love to that man as he's currently very sick in the hospital. Rosa Parks, Medgar Evers, Bradley Manning. The reason I brought these four people's names up is Nelson Mandela, back in the day when he was in prison, do you know that he was actually considered a dissident by our own country, by this country, the United States? Ultimately, he would turn out to be a great man. He always was a great man, and he stood up for heroic effort to stop the brutalization of human beings. But years later, after 27 years in prison, he would finally be recognized for his greatness. Rosa Parks, she was the woman who dared to stand up and say she didn't have to sit at the back of the bus in the South, in this country. When she died, she was the first African-American who was allowed to lay in state at the state capital of this country, of the United States. She was a whistleblower, folks. Nelson Mandela was a whistleblower. Medgar Evers was a great civil rights leader who was murdered in front of his children, and for decades his murderers scoffed at them. They happened to be from a hate group in the South. Bradley Manning. And please go out and look. I really did not know much about what Bradley Manning had been doing. Go out and look at what he did. He was not willing to turn a blind eye to the wrongful killing of innocent people. And there is a movement to support him. When we kill our whistleblowers, what does it say for our country when we laid a whistleblower under the Obama administration in a casket in the White House? If Rosa Parks was here today, what would she say to our leaders? They would actually probably have her in prison because as a whistleblower, and yet we laid this woman in state, and she deserved it. Please know I'm saying I find every one of these people amazing human beings for standing up and doing the right thing. And when children are raped at the tender age of 3 or below, and I was one of those people, please know, even though the Nazis under mind control said that they have benefits that come out of that, including they can turn these kids into suicide bombers, I will tell you there is nothing that comes out of it except the confusion and use and abuse of human beings. So that is supported, sadly, by the false memory syndrome folks, which were CIA doctors and those who came out of Nazi Germany. And they are helping to harm our people. including our veterans. We need to stand
absolutely
up together.
Listen,
nonviolently.
Nancy, you got about 90 seconds, so go right ahead.
The only thing I was going to say, Roman Pinckney, is there is a great deal of misinformation and disinformation out there. What we need to do is we need to raise our voices and speak and take action nonviolently. If they are attempting, and I did in fact work for FEMA, if they are in fact attempting to get the left and the right to clash against each other, we need to unplug and do this all nonviolently and make sure that we do not give them what they want.
Absolutely. Very good. Thank you so much, Dorothy. I really appreciate the insight that you give. That is really tremendous. But listen, I want you to stay with me. I got to move on to Roz. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I am so blessed, and it is so incredible listening and learning. And from the first couple you had on, you know, I was a hostage in Iran, and they knew with Benghazi that they were going to attack. They always tell us what they're going to do. And it was 9/11, and Obama let them die, and Hillary. And to go on TV and say it was the video, it's just unconscionable, because my friend is Steve Klein, who advised about the video, who no one was even looking at the video until the White House mentioned it. Sam is in prison. Their families are under death threats. It's just disgusting what's going on. We all knew, just like when I was in Iran in 78, we knew they were going to take the embassy. They told us, and they did. They like to celebrate with just disgusting actions on the day that something's happened or around that day.
You still there?
Yes, yes. All of a sudden it seemed to go out. Yes, I want to say that. So the corruption going on in this country is disgusting.
Absolutely.
And the lie.
You know, even with your case, is almost ridiculous.
Oh, my case is ridiculous. Let me mention the Daily Censored. I have a new article that came out today, and who should be in the Daily Censored today was Lynn Stewart, about Lynn. And I hope everybody's praying for her. She has stage 4 cancer. Whether you agree or you disagree, as Christians, as Americans, as Jewish people, in our heart, we are called to pray for her, for a healing, that the walls are broken down, and that she has come home, that she will come home. And that's what makes us different as Americans, as human beings, as people with a conscience and a heart.
And
that's
soul.
What I like.
Don't forget that soul. That's important.
And that soul. And we have great faith in God, and our Lord Jesus Christ is going to get us through this with victory, because he brought us all together. He anointed you, Reverend Pinckney. There's now, what is it, 500,000 people listening?
Oh,
wow.
We're close.
We're close. We're going to be even closer. We're going to get to 1,000,000, I'm predicting.
Hey,
I came
I'm claiming it right now, Roz. We're going to have 10 million people listening.
10 million people. And when we hear everybody that's been on, so educated, so knowledgeable, these things are happening, everybody, everywhere. This country, they're out to get you. A lady called me about her workers' comp case, and I said, they want to kill you. They've moved her to another school. She has a child. I said, you just disappear yourself, get your paycheck, and just leave them alone. She says, well, I left stuff at the other school. I said, forget the other school. Forget the things. Just go on. God will give
absolutely.
You other things.
Absolutely. I see David Garcia is running for union president now.
Right. Well, I
have
don't
you
know.
Saw
what,
that?
I saw that, but I don't know exactly what's happening.
Well,
you need to
get that union. If David get in there, it could be a whole different world.
Right, but I'd like to see that. It's just so corrupt. But I can talk
it's
about
everything. It's because the people don't do anything. My thing is it's more of us than them. Once we get that through our thick heads, then we'll be able to do something. We're never, ever going to be able to do anything until we understand it's more of us than them. And that's what we have to keep talking about, because people just don't get it until something happens to them. Then they want to fight. It is too late. You have to start fighting from the beginning. They say the best thing that, war does, war gives you peace. That's the best way of neutralizing anybody. War brings you peace. That's the only way you'll get peace.
Well, we are at war now. Now, this country is at war. We're at war with everything. When I went to court the last time, Frank Christine III, the lawyer for LAUSD that has changed the story, so he has had all the evidence, just like I have had it, but he reads it different and he has lied about it. He made his own court date, which is ex parte communication, and they are not allowed to do that. It's both lawyers together. So
that's
now
right.
They're doing whatever they want. And right, if we would all stand up together, there is more of us. Even though they have the money, they're fighting behind the scenes. They're giving it to each other. As a military wife for 21 years, they all go after each other because they want to be promoted. And just so we can win here. And I'm starting to hear from people. We need to hear from more people.
That's right.
And if you would email me at rozywow@aol.com, rozywow@aol.com, and we are going to join forces. I've heard from the Nevada Injured Workers Group. There's millions of injured workers across the country. There's families. And what they want to do is kill you. They want you to lose everything. They're going to deny all your benefits. You're going to get sicker. And then you die. And then they party. And
that's right. You said it all. Hey, listen, Rob, I got to let you go. I got to bring on James and Joanne, and I got to bring Dr. Short back on to close it out. But I really, really appreciate you, girl. You just keep up the good hard work and keep fighting.
Okay, I'm going to fight, but I need to hear from other people. I need you now. I'm in the Cerritos News, which just won the best investigative reporter for Randy Economy, and also Daily Censored. He's got about 6 of my articles.
Very good. Keep up the good work.
I will.
James, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney.
James, you and Randy are going to have the closing words today, so you can say whatever you want. You got about 90 seconds.
God bless you all. Thank you much for your audience. You know, we all need to join hands. We need to forget race, creed, color, sexual preferences, and we need to join hands. There's 300 million of us. There's 1,000 bad guys in Washington, D.C. We should be able to take our country back. We should be based all our thoughts on God's word, and we need to help protect each other and protect all these innocents in the world as well.
And you right, Joanne, did you want to say something?
I said, God bless you, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you for having us on. And please, everybody, remember the genocide of the black people in Libya. And remember the suffering Libyans. There's 2 million in exile. They have al-Qaeda running their country, killing all of them.
Absolutely. The young man said that the al-Qaeda was actually the CIA. So we do know that. So we got to just stay focused and don't get sidetracked. That is so, so important. Hold on for 1 second. Let me bring on Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there, Dr. Short? Dr. Short, are you there? Dr. Short, let me move on. And just simply tell everybody, do not forget, Danny Glover will be in the city of Benton Harbor. He's here to support us. He's here to help us. He's here to do things. It's amazing. Those of you who want to buy your ticket, you can go to PayPal, or you just look up Edward Pinckney. That's all you need to know. Edward Pinckney, PayPal, and you can do it with your credit card. Or you can write me a check. Just make it out to Banco, BANCO, and you can mail it to 1940 Union Avenue. That's Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. We are going to continue this fight, so let's get ourselves ready. It's more of us than them, so let's deal with it. James, do you want to give out that address again?
Yes, it's AITNV.com. That's Apple like, A like Apple, I like Island, T like Tom, NV for Nevada.com. God bless you all.
Hey, you know, and this is just the beginning. We're just glad to have you on, James.
And I want people to know that, you know, that we're going to fight together. And that's what they don't want us to do. They don't want nobody fighting together. And I tell you, on that note, we have just ran out of time. So those of you who are listening, I want to thank you for listening. I'm hoping that we hit that at half a million people this time around. If not, we're going for it next week. We're going to make sure that we get a million listeners within the next 2-3 months. So let's work on it. Tell your friends about the show. Let's listen to a little Harold Melvin. Wake up, everybody. Wake up.
Night all.